Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life Body. Welcome. Today I'm going to be sharing with you from the 8th and 9th chapters of the book of Zechariah, what are listed as being the 8th and 9th chapters of Zechariah. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in, because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one against his neighbor. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore, love the truth and peace. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also, yea, Many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Now, beginning again at the beginning of chapter 8, what is listed as chapter 8, and then we'll be following with chapter 9. But before that, let me just finish up with what is listed as being the 15th verse of chapter 6. And they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass if ye will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now, yes, that pertained directly to the prophecies that were given in that passage of Scripture that was listed as being chapter 6. It also pertains to what is listed as being chapter 8, the prophecies here. They shall come to pass, the prophecies of good, not the prophecies of evil, not the prophecies of destruction, of annihilation, but the prophecies of good shall come to pass. The prophecies of God bringing these peoples together as his people and reigning over them in Jerusalem, they shall come to pass if we will diligently obey the voice of the Lord God Almighty. That is a condition for these to be fulfilled, for God to do good to we sinful people. And yes, these prophecies of long ago pertain to time yet to come. For this pertains to the millennial reign of Christ. But proceeding with what is listed as chapter 8, again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Jealousy is supposedly such a bad thing, right? Oh, it's just terrible. It's just dreadful. And of course, various ministers and what have you, theologians would make it out that it is sin, right? Jealousy is sin. It is wrong. It is so bad. And then they will make an exception, perhaps, depending on the pastor, the minister, the teacher, the theologian, will perhaps make an exception for God. That what is wrong and sin for man is permissible and okay for God. Others will not. They will instead just explain it away as best they can, as futilely as they do. But God says that he's jealous for Zion with great jealousy, not with temperate jealousy, not with moderate jealousy, not with a little jealousy. Moderation in all things, a little jealousy. No, no. I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Oh my, anger is wrong. Anger is wrong. We know that. That's just terrible. And yet God In his word, he states that he is angry with the wicked every day, and that his people were to hate evil, were to be angry with evil, and to hate the evil, and to eschew the evil. But here, he is jealous for his people of Zion. Why? Because they have given him great cause for jealousy. There is warranted jealousy and unwarranted jealousy. It is wrong, sinful, foolish for a man or a woman to be jealous over a person who is not their spouse. For a woman to be jealous of a man who is not her husband or anything remotely approaching her husband or who will ever be her husband. And yet I've experienced that. I've suffered that. Okay. But that's wrong. And it's wrong for a man to be jealous over a woman who is not his wife, not his sweetheart, not his beloved, not his espoused, not his betrothed. That is wrong. That is sin. But Zion, the people of Zion, the people of Jerusalem, the people of Israel, the people of Judah, these were God's chosen people. And he's jealous because of their waywardness, their frowardness, their worshiping of devils and demons, every devil, every demon of the earth that they could come across, they managed to worship instead of God Almighty, in the place of God Almighty, in offense against God Almighty. It's not just that they broke, ordinance number 651. They destroyed, they demolished the Ten Commandments, all of them. And perhaps we demolish a few in our lifetimes. There is commonplace, expected, ordinary, routine things in life in all of the Western nations now. In all of former Christendom, certainly heavily in the United States of America, that entail absolute defilement and corruption and perversion of and destruction of the Ten Commandments. And these things are done routinely. Whether it happens to be the matter of defiling the Sabbath. Now, there are those, of course, Jews of whatever persuasion, unless they are agnostic Jews, atheist Jews, of which there are many, secular humanist Jews. And so many of these fit right into some of these Jewish synagogues and congregations, such as Reform. What a perversion of that name, Reform. Or conservative and so forth, or liberal, so-called Judaism. But Saturday is viewed as being the Sabbath by Jewry, typically, and by Seventh-day Adventists, and by Seventh-day Baptists, so-called, and by various others. But without getting off into other great religions, but Saturday and Sunday routinely are days for great merchandising, aren't they? For selling, for buying, for all manner of such things. For sports, for engaging in sports, for watching those engaging in sports, viewing them, and so forth, following them, for training, for practicing, for all of these other things, as well as for common labor, servile labor. It's not supposed to be that way, just to take, you know, one case in point, all right? But, and yet, so many of these, or I just should say, not so many, but many, within the realm of professional sports, will spout out about Jesus and about God and about this, that, and the other thing, even while they are absolutely premeditatedly breaking his first and foremost commandments. Continually, perpetually, but oh well. And there are so very, 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 very many churches and pastors who, what is the proper word, covet the membership of such individuals because, of course, they're loaded. They're loaded and they can give largely. But God is jealous of Zion, and don't get caught up in this thing about, oh, Zionism. That's something terrible and horrible. Now, the return of the people of God to Israel is God's plan. As God states over and over that he will bring them back, but moving on. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. God Almighty states over and over and over and over again within this single passage of Scripture listed as being the eighth chapter of Zechariah, this matter of the truth. And you can find it throughout Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, but the truth. God is the God of truth. God is the true God, and all truth comes from him. And then we have these various individuals who, so wisely, they state, well, yes, all truth is God's truth, just like all love is God's love. And then they go on to champion and espouse lies and abomination. But truth is from God, if it is truth. Lies are from Satan, if they are lies. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion. This is the millennial reign of Christ being spoken of. This has not happened. No matter how many pastors across America, no matter how many theologians, no matter how many denominations, no matter how many theological seminaries insist that this is a time gone by, this is yet to happen. The millennial reign of Christ has yet to come, but it is drawing very near. And in Christendom, there are so many expressions that are used, figures of speech, expressions, truisms, and corruptions and, dare I say, bastardizations of Scripture that are just, there is a glut of across the churches, across Christianity in this nation and around the Western world. And one of them is this, that you have undoubtedly heard, oh, he could come at any moment. He could return at any moment, meaning Jesus, any moment. No, you or I could die at any moment. We could go to be with the Lord at any moment, but he could not, can not return at any moment. There are things that have to happen before he returns. When I state over and over and over again, typically at the end of these programs, that the Lord is drawing nigh, that doesn't mean, oh, he could show up any moment. And yes, you can cherry pick a verse of Scripture which seems to imply that that could be the case. When God is stating something unequivocally, unshakably, he states it and restates it and restates it as he states this concerning truth in this passage of Scripture. The Lord shall not return until the beast, the false prophet, who is another beast, the image of the beast, and Satan, that old dragon, that great dragon, that old serpent, until they have appeared and they have conquered the world, with the final event being that they conquer Israel and then the Lord returns. Oh, but he could come at any moment. No. You or I could die and go to be with the Lord at any moment, or we could die and not go to be with the Lord at any moment. But he cannot return at any moment. No matter what you've been taught, no matter what you've been told, no matter what you believe, no matter what you imagine, that isn't happening. Until the things that he has said will happen, happen. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age, to keep from falling down. Right? And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Imagine that. Do you imagine that Jerusalem is a safe place right now? Do you? Do you imagine it's a safe place for Jews? Do you imagine it's a safe place for Christians? Do you imagine that the Lord is currently ruling and reigning in Jerusalem? Do you imagine that it's a wonderful place for children to be out playing in the streets and what have you? There is no city or town in the United States of America. I know there will be great exception to this, but there is no place in this nation where it is completely safe for unsupervised boys and girls to play in the streets, in the alleys, on school grounds, and what have you. And the litany of monstrous, evil, satanic crimes against children across this nation for decades and decades proves that point. Now, it doesn't say explicitly these children are unsupervised. But it does not say that they're not. And I have a feeling that men and women that are aged, that are described as being old, are going to have a tough time keeping up, keeping track of energetic children running around. I just I suspect that. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people, in these days should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. And I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Oh, but brother, you know, God already did that, right? After the end of World War II, God did that, right? That's not what is being talked about here. Yes, survivors of the concentration camps, survivors of the gulags, and so forth. Many of them did make their way, or tried to make their way, to Israel, some of whom were graciously turned back by the dear Christian Brits of Great Britannia, who returned them to where they had come from, the concentration camps in Germany and so forth. But, oh, Britain, so good. But that's not what's being spoken of here. Here he is gathering, God is gathering these peoples from the east country and from the west country. East country and west country, that can refer to various things. But going west from Israel, you're in the Mediterranean Sea. Going east from Israel, where does that take you? Jordan, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, so forth. Right? Southeast, Saudi Arabia. South, Egypt. North, Lebanon and Syria, Turkey, Greece, Italy, on up into Europe. East and west, not very specific here. But this absolutely can refer to the entirety of the world. God gathering his people from everywhere on this earth. From any and all points east and west from Israel. And if you draw a line, a vertical line through Israel, and you take everything east, that includes north and south, east. And everything west, that includes north and south, west. And you go around the world until they meet, it takes in the whole world. But I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst, in the middle of Jerusalem, throughout Jerusalem. Not just the western portion of Jerusalem. All of Jerusalem that is currently enslaved by Islam, the portions of Jerusalem that are, all of Jerusalem. No thanks to the UN, no thanks to NATO, no thanks to the United States of America, this will happen. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. And God shall be the only God on this earth. All the false gods, all the pretenders, all the liars, Satan by all of his pseudonyms, including Allah, shall be gone. Buddhism, Zen Buddhism, Taoism, Jainism, all of Hinduism, all of those great American Indian, Native American Indian religions and gods, all of the cults, Confucianism and what have you, it will all be gone. Not to mention Baal worship, Moloch worship, and all of these others. Something more than that. And this is a shocking thing to say. Roman Catholicism will cease and desist. That's right. Instead, there shall be actual factual Christianity. Meanwhile, Reform Jewry, Liberal Jewry, Conservative Jewry, Orthodox Jewry, Ultra-Orthodox Jewry, Hasidic Jewry, that shall all cease and desist. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built, that the Lord Jesus Christ laid the chief cornerstone. For before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one against his neighbor. God did that? Really? But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, and the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. The remnant of these people that worship God Almighty and His Christ Jesus shall possess all these things. Contrary to the wills of these anti-God governments and of the regime, worldwide regime, that he will overthrow. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you. And ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. As you were a curse, as you were cursed, as you were persecuted among the heathen, and that happens to include dear old Nazi Third Reich Germany, that was utterly, totally anti-Christian, anti-Christ, as well as anti-Jew. And this applies to dear old former Soviet Union, the same thing, and communist Red China, and what have you. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. As God brought his judgment upon Israel and Judah for the evils committed by its leaders and its peoples, so now God brings blessing and restoration and mercy and peace. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth. Again, the truth. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. Throughout the Old Testament, a ringing cry and command from God is to execute righteous judgment and justice and exercise mercy and loving kindness. All of the corrupt, profane, wicked, unrighteous, unjust, ungodly, abominable rulers, judges, courts shall be judged. And God's judgment of truth and righteousness shall prevail. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor and love no false oath. O Jehovah's Witnesses, so called, the false witnesses, they cannot ascribe to oaths. No, God says no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore, love the truth and peace. Truth and peace, judgment and justice, mercy and loving kindness, truth and peace. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also, yea, many people and strong nations, heathen nations, shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem. Not to seek Islam, not to seek Allah. To seek the Lord of hosts, to seek God Almighty and his holy Son, Jesus. And to pray before the Lord, not before Satan by any of his guises. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Wait a minute, this is Jewry, isn't it? That they're following, that they're seeking? No. No, this is not the synagogue of Satan. This is not limited to a movement, call it a denomination, whatever you want to call it, Messianic Jewry. This is the perfection, the fulfillment of God's promises, God's prophecies for the Jews. They are transformed into the body of Christ. And these nations are heathen nations, humanist nations, secular humanist nations, atheist nations, agnostic nations. And yes, there may be, you know, some professing Christians in some of these nations. Now, for what is listed as being chapter 9. The burden of the word of the Lord in the land of Hadrach and Damascus shall be the rest thereof. When the eyes of man as of all the tribes of Israel shall be toward the Lord. And Hamath also shall border thereby Tyrus and Zidon, though it be very wise. And Tyrus did build herself a stronghold and heaped up silver as the dust and fine gold as the mire of the streets. Behold, the Lord will cast her out, and he will smite her power in the sea, and she shall be devoured with fire. Ashkelon shall see it and fear. Gaza also shall see it and be very sorrowful. And Ekron for her expectation shall be ashamed. And the king shall perish from Gaza, and Ashkelon shall not be inhabited. And a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines, and I will take away his blood out of his mouth and his abominations from between his teeth. But he that remaineth, even he, shall be for our God. And he shall be as a governor in Judah, and Ekron as a Jebusite. And I will encamp about mine house because of the army, because of him that passeth by, and because of him that returneth. And no oppressor shall pass through them any more, for now have I seen with mine eyes. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen. And his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee, when I have bent Judah for me, filled the bow with Ephraim, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and made thee as the sword of a mighty man. And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning. And the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. The Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with sling stones, and they shall drink and make a noise as through wine, and they shall be filled like bowls and as the corners of the altar. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty! Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids. So going back to the beginning of chapter 9, but picking up the very ending of what is listed as chapter 8. We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. This sound shall be heard throughout the world that God is with Israel. That's not going to happen prior to the overthrow of Jerusalem. That's going to happen after the Lord returns while Jerusalem is overthrown, returns and overthrows Satan and all of his worldwide army. The burden of the word of the Lord in the land of Hadrach and Damascus shall be the rest thereof. When the eyes of man, as of all the tribes of Israel, shall be toward the Lord. There will not be peace until all the eyes of man, all the tribes, kindreds, races, nations, tongues of men as well as of the tribes of Israel shall be toward the Lord. Currently, the eyes of the tribes of Israel are not toward the Lord. Oh, yes, you know, there's a believer here and there, but they are few and far between. Very few and far between. But at this point in time, all Jews that remain will worship the Lord. A very different time than there has been throughout human history thus far. And Hamath also shall border thereby Tyrus and Zidon, though it be very wise. And Tyrus did build herself a stronghold and heaped up silver as the dust and fine gold as the mire of the streets. Absolutely teeming, overflowing with riches. Tyre and Zidon, or Tyrus and Zidon, as they are referred to interchangeably. Behold, the Lord will cast her out, and he will smite her power in the sea, and she shall be devoured with fire. Absolutely destroyed, despite having such magnificent riches and power, power that riches can buy. Ashkelon shall see it and fear. Gaza also shall see it and be very sorrowful. This is a very, very different sorrow in Gaza than there is currently. Oh, yes, we're made aware of, you know, the suffering of the Muslim people in Gaza. What we're not made aware of is that the reason that they're suffering is because of the terrorism of Hamas and Islam. Gaza was under the control of Israel. Israel relinquished it. Shouldn't have, but they did. And it's just under the terrorist control of Hamas, Islam. Gaza also shall see it and be very sorrowful, and Ekron for her expectation shall be ashamed. And the king shall perish from Gaza, and Ashkelon shall not be inhabited. And a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines, or Philistines if you prefer. And I will take away his blood out of his mouth. God's going to cut off their pride, take their blood out of their mouth, of those that remain, of those that survive, and take his abominations from between his teeth. And he that remaineth, he shall be for our God, not for Satan in the guise of Allah. Not for Satan, but for our God. Christ Jesus died for all peoples so that any that should choose to believe on him may inherit eternal life. It's not limited to this group of people or that group of people, but for all people. But again, speaking of these Philistines, he that remaineth, even he shall be for our God, and he shall be as a governor in Judah, and Ekron as a Jebusite. Amazing. I mean, they shall be promoted. And I will encamp about mine house, because of the army, because of him that passeth by, and because of him that returneth, and no oppressor shall pass through them any more. For now have I seen with mine eyes. No oppressor shall pass through them any more. We can't say that. You cannot say that in good conscience concerning the United States of America, let alone Israel. You can't. All of the absolutely monstrous, vicious, ruthless, sadistic, satanic crimes that are committed every day of every week, of every month, of every season, of every year, for decade upon decade upon decade, upon century in this nation. But especially since post-World War II. But here in Israel, the most trodden down, downtrodden of places on the face of the earth, the most oppressed, and God Almighty says, no oppressor shall pass through them anymore. For now have I seen with mine eyes. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Wait a minute. Obviously, this is referring to a time before Jesus because it's referring prophetically to Jesus. Yes, it's referring prophetically to Jesus, but it is not referring to a time before Jesus. It's referring to a time that is soon coming that will be seen with the return of the Lord Jesus and his millennial reign. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off. Interesting. Why should God essentially, significantly disarm his people? Why? Ephraim, the son of Joseph, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. The chariot shall be cut off. The horse from Jerusalem, the battle bow shall be cut off. Well, elsewhere here in the Old Testament, God instructed, commanded the kings of Israel, and the kings of Judah, not to acquire, let alone amass, chariots and horses, horsemen. But it's not that God shall not save them, but not by chariots, not by horsemen, not by high-tech military. That's not how God is going to do it. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Here in the United States of America and in Europe, in NATO, what have you, we trust in military might, military technology. This is true in Israel. When God saves his people, it will not be by might of technology. It will not be. Even though all of the forces of the world come against Israel. Amazingly enough, that is the truth. God Almighty, his ways are so different from ours. But and he shall speak peace unto the heathen. Who is he? The king that cometh, who is just and having salvation. He shall speak peace unto the heathen. Unto the heathen that have attacked Israel, he shall speak peace unto the heathen. Not unto those soldiers, they will be destroyed. But unto the heathens around the world, the Lord Jesus shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion, the Lord Jesus' dominion, shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. Yes, there are large numbers of Christians in South Korea and in Costa Rica and in the United States of America and in various nations and parts of the world. And then there are very large numbers of Roman Catholics and so on and so forth. But this is something very different. The Lord Jesus Christ shall have dominion over the entire earth. But this is after Satan has enslaved the entire earth. Not parts of it, as Hitler did, as Stalin did, as Mao did. Not parts of the earth. Satan shall enslave the entirety of the earth. Not as Islam has, the entirety of the earth, which has been their goal, their express goal, to have worldwide hegemony. It shall only be accomplished by Satan in a time very near to come, and then by God Almighty and his Christ as they overthrow Satan. But again, speaking of Jesus, the King who is just and having salvation, as for thee also by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. The blood of thy covenant, the blood of thy testament, the blood of the New Testament, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have sent forth thy prisoners. Thy prisoners, theologians, they can, differ on this. This is servants of the Lord Jesus Christ who have been monstrously persecuted. In my view, that's who it's referring to. He shall send them forth out of the pit wherein is no water. It can also be saving people from hell or who are on their way to hell. But if you look back in this Old Testament, you will find Jeremiah cast into the pit wherein is no water in the courtyard of the palace of the king of Judah repeatedly. But turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee when I have bent Judah for me, filled the bow with Ephraim, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and made thee as the sword of a mighty man. In other messages, I have referred to and focused on the fact that this worldwide enslaving regime shall be the last chapter of the Grecian-Roman Empire. And so it shall. And here the Lord God Almighty says that when he has bent Judah, filled the bow as a battle bow, filled the bow with Ephraim. Ephraim standing for the nation of Israel, not the combined nation of Israel, but the separated nations, the nation of Judah, of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, and the nation of Israel, headed up by Ephraim. When I have bent Judah for me, filled the bow with Ephraim, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, all of the tribes of Israel, against thy sons, O Greece, against the Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire, the final Reich, if you will, of the Roman Empire, under none other than Satan himself and the beast and the false prophet. And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning. And the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with the whirlwinds of the south. The Lord of hosts shall defend them, his people. And they shall devour and subdue with sling stones. And they shall drink and make a noise as through wine. And they shall be filled like bowls and as the corners of the altar. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people. For they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land. Now, when God Almighty refers to sling stones here and arrows, it remains to be seen what God shall use. But God Almighty and his Christ shall save his people from this combined vast coalition. This worldwide coalition, you know, that is such a good word. It's such a good thing, right? This vast coalition, this vast confederacy, to use another word that may be less warm and fuzzy for some people, but this vast coalition of peoples who are combined in their lust and their hatred to destroy Israel and God and his Christ. And God shall allow them to overrun, to overthrow Jerusalem, as his word states elsewhere in Zechariah, later in Zechariah, before the Lord returns and overthrows them. For how great is his goodness and how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids. Now, I am not about to recommend that young women take to wine bibbing, take to drinking wine. No. But the new wine, something else. How great is his goodness, is the goodness of Christ Jesus, of the Lord of glory, and of God the Father. These things shall come to pass in the near future. And the Lord Jesus shall not appear until these things come to pass, until this world is crushed under the boots of the vastest, most terrible worldwide regime there has ever been. Heavenly Father, Holy God, guide us and direct us into all truth. Lead us, draw us with the cords of men. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Lord God Almighty, bring us unto thyself, and let us not fall away and not turn from thee and not deny thee and not reject thee in these times that are to come and that are drawing near. In Jesus' name, amen.